Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
3 is Jesus' final sermon. And Jesus delivers this sermon, and he delivers it with really a stinging rebuke. Jesus delivers it this way because Jesus was constantly noticing the people who were around him. Jesus took time to notice people. In fact, in this passage, he notices the multitude that is around him. He notices the disciples that are following him. He notices the scribes and the Pharisees who are opposing him. He notices all the crowd. That in the end, all Jerusalem that is listening to him. In fact, if you read Luke's gospel right on the tail end of when Jesus delivers this stinging rebuke, he actually takes time to notice the widow who delivers the 2 mites into the canister in front of all the church that day. Jesus is constantly taking time to notice people. And the reason Jesus notices people individually is because those individuals mattered to him. People mattered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what we would want you to know here at First Baptist, you matter to us. I mean, we're so glad that you're here today. Maybe you wandered in and wondered, does anyone really notice me? Hey, you're noticed this morning. We're so thankful that you're here. We're glad that you're here. And we don't even want you to leave. We want you to stay through. Man, just camp out all afternoon if you want to. We'll have service at 5 o'clock again. You matter to us, and we want you to know, man, you are welcomed and you are wanted here. And so many times people approach church, even go to church, and they never know, am I really wanted in that church? You are wanted here. And the reason that is because the Lord Jesus Christ, he noticed us. Hey, you matter to God, so you matter to us. Hey, we matter to God, and so, man, we want to communicate that message to you. Hey, this is what I want you to know. It's not just that we want you here as a church, but I want you here as your pastor. Man, you matter to me. I really appreciate it when you take time to stop by the lobby and shake my hand on your way out. I really appreciate that. I'm so thankful for that. And sometimes you stop by and say, Pastor, point number 2 was a little bit dull. I don't necessarily appreciate that, but I do appreciate you stopped by and shook my hand. That means something to me. How many of you know it's good to know that people noticed you, right? And Jesus was noticing people. And it's precisely because Jesus noticed people that Jesus delivered this sermon to them. Jesus doesn't just see their outward part. Jesus knows their heart. Jesus doesn't just take note of what we do on the outside. Jesus takes note of who we are on the inside. When the Bible says that Jesus is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. What I can notice this morning is I can notice if you are in your place this morning. But Jesus knows where you are in your heart this morning. How many of you know it's possible to be in church physically, but out of church mentally? How many of you have mastered that art? You're going down the list of groceries this afternoon that you have to buy, of all you got to do this week. Man, it's possible to be in church physically, but out of church emotionally or mentally. Jesus is taking note of all of that, and he displays that for us by his interaction with his disciples, his interaction with the multitude, his interaction with the widow, his interaction with the scribes, the Pharisees here on this day. How many of you remember Jesus' first sermon? The Sermon on the Mount, right? And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives 8, blessed are thou, blessed are ye if. Man, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus' first sermon, he gives out 8, blessed are you if. And then in his final sermon, Jesus gives us 8. In fact, he gives us 8 woes, 8 warnings too. The first sermon is referred to as the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes of those that are blessed. May people who are blessed have this kind of attitude. They have this kind of approach to life. They have this kind of approach, this kind of relationship with God. Man, if the first sermon is 8 Beatitudes, Jesus' final sermon is the 8 bad attitudes. Man, there's 8 ways to be blessed. 8 attitudes that a blessed person has. And then these are 8 bad attitudes that a person who is not listening to the warning of God that they have. In fact, in the passage, he 8 times he pronounces a curse. 7 times he calls them hypocrites. 4 times he calls them blind or blind guides. Man, twice he calls them fools. He says that they are of a family of snakes. And then he calls them serpents themselves. He calls them snakes themselves. These are what Adrian Rogers called spirit-inspired insults. You've heard of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. These are the insults of the Spirit. Okay, that's what these are. To those who are pretending to be something on the outside. Right? He calls them hypocrites, which literally means actor, pretender. People who are pretending to be something on the outside, but they are not this same thing on the inside. But Jesus is noticing people. Jesus is not just noticing their outward appearance, but he is noticing where they are in their heart. And precisely because he notices where they are in the heart, he delivers to them this stinging rebuke. But mind you, this is not a lecture from Jesus for lecture's sake. Jesus isn't just giving them a strong rebuke like you and I do with our children because they didn't clean their room again. You didn't. I told you 100 times to clean your room. It's not just another lecture from Jesus. Jesus is giving them this rebuke because he desires to see in them repentance. Jesus is delivering them a rebuke because he desires to see in them a relationship restored with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God himself. Jesus is moved by what he sees from these people who are pretending to represent him and pretending to represent his Father, which is God. These people are killing the prophets who were serving them. They are stoning the people who were sent to help them. They are serving themselves rather than serving those who have these needs. And so a couple ideas. You got a handout so you can follow along with us, okay? A couple ideas, a couple of the spirit-inspired insults this morning. Number one, notice the characteristics of hypocrisy. The characteristics of hypocrisy. Man, the characteristics of those who are pretending to be something on the outside that they are not on the inside. Notice this, they lack sovereignty. They lack sovereignty. Verse number 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Man, they put themselves in Moses' position. They elevated themselves to a position of authority. They esteemed themselves more highly than they ought to think of themselves. They made themselves the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Hey, it's a dangerous thing when teachers become the final authority and God's word is not the final authority. It's a dangerous thing when we listen to the teacher and the preacher more than we listen to God's word. Hey, we should be thankful for teachers and preachers. I am one of them, so we should be thankful for them. And we should listen to them. And when the teacher and the preacher, when they agree with the Bible, then they should be listened to. But when the teacher or the preacher disagree with the Bible, then they should be disregarded. It's not the teacher or the preacher that is our final authority. It is God's word that is our final authority. When men agree with the Bible, then they are right. And when men disagree with the Bible, then they are wrong. Hey, at any point where I start teaching something that is contrary to God's word, it's right then and there that you should escort me out. But we should make sure. We should make sure that those who are teaching and preaching to us, that they are teaching and preaching the things that are in line with God's word. By the way, that's why we have the teaching and preaching practice that we do here at First Baptist. It's next chapter. What is it? Next verse. Man, next chapter, next verse. Why? Because we want to be sure that we are holding ourselves accountable to God's word, to the word of God. Man, the characteristics, they lacked sovereignty. They were not in full authority. Man, our authority is God's word. Man, they lacked sincerity. They lacked sincerity. Look at verse number 3. And all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. Man, this is every parent in the room has used this line. Do as I say, not as I do. Well, mom and dad, why do I have to eat my vegetables? Dad isn't eating any vegetables. Well, because I'm dad. That's why I don't have to eat the vegetables. Man, do as I say. Man, this was their approach. Man, they lacked sincerity. They did not practice what they preached. They prided themselves on being thought of as being holy, but not actually being holy. Man, they took more pride in what other people thought about them than what they really were on the inside. Man, this ought to provoke strong thought from us today. Are we more careful about what other people think about us more than we are what we actually really are on the inside? Man, are we paying more attention to how other people think of us than who we know we really are on the inside? And while it is true that there is no one who is 100% perfect, there should at least be a consistency between what we do and how we live and where we go, the entertainments we enjoy, the way we use our resources. There should at least be a consistency in what we do with what we say. There should be some authenticity between, man, what we say and how we actually live. Man, as a parent, in your profession, man, in the office, with your husband, with your wife, on your campus, in your marriage, with your relationships and friendships that you have, man, is there something that you are expecting other people to do, but you yourself are not willing to do? You see, this is what the Pharisees, the scribes, man, these blind guides, this is what they had done. They lacked sincerity. They were not practicing what they were themselves preaching. Man, they lacked sovereignty. They lacked sincerity. They lacked sympathy. Look at verse number 4. Man, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. Man, Christ said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Man, Christ went around making it easy for people to follow them. These religious leaders, man, instead of making it easy to serve the Lord, to follow the Lord, to go after the Lord, man, these religious leaders, they made it hard. They made it difficult. Man, they made it heavy. Man, Christ was making it simple to go after the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He was making it simple to go after God. Man, these religious leaders, they were making it difficult to go after God. They were making it ridiculous to go after God. Christ came as a burden lifter. Man, Christ came as a burden lifter. Religion always adds to the burden. Makes more heavy the burden. More work on the person. Man, Christ came to lift a burden, to bear the burden. False religion, do this, do that. Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's done all that we need to have a relationship with Him. I mean, nothing else is needed. Nothing else is added. Man, they lacked sympathy. They lacked a serving heart. And look at verse number 4. Man, they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Man, they lacked a serving heart. Man, they're laying burdens on everyone else, expecting everyone else to do all these things. And when they see someone struggling, when they see someone in need, they are not responding to the need that they see. They are not responding to the need. Man, you remember the saying, see the need, take the lead. Man, you see someone in need, we ought to be the ones that respond to that need. Man, let me pull the car over, just park here for a second, and let me just say thank you to so many in the church family who responded to the needs that the Millers had this week. I said it yesterday jokingly, kind of jokingly. I think we have enough meals for Miss Susan to eat till the summer. I mean, it was unbelievable the way folks responded. Man, we took up a great offering on Wednesday night. We even had more offerings come in throughout the weekend. Somebody walked up to Miss Miller, just handed her an envelope, man, just all kinds of resources inside of the envelope. She saw me yesterday at the end of the funeral. Everybody was leaving. I think it was just her and me and a few folks here. We were all walking out. And she said, Pastor, I'm just overwhelmed at the way the church family has responded. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. But this ought, yeah, give yourselves a hand. That's wonderful. Hey, but listen, this ought not be a one-time thing. This is how we should always respond. Man, anytime there's a need, man, we should respond to those who are in need. And you know why? You know why? Because one day we'll be the ones in need. And we'll want people to respond to our need. We'll want people to respond to our need. Man, thank you for doing that. Man, here are these religious pretenders. They did not respond to the need. And they did not answer the call. Man, they would not even, look, lift one finger in order to help that person who was in need. Man, look at verse number 5. But all their works they do for to be seen. Underline that phrase. Why did they do what they did? They only were doing what they were doing for to be seen. Man, while it's true, man, when we do good works, man, the people around us, they see our good works. They glorify our Father, which is in heaven. It's true that when we do good works, we do them before men, but we do not do our work for men. It's true, we do it before men, but we do not do it to be applauded, to be awarded by men. Man, their whole motive was, who will recognize what I have done? Man, who will give me a pat on the back? Who will see how good, how religious, how much I'm doing? Man, all they were doing, all they cared about was getting this honor, this glory. They cared about the applause of men, not the approval from God. Look at verse 5. Man, they make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. They would take these scripture verses. They would put them on their hands. Man, sometimes in the front of their hats. They would put them there as a reminder. Man, these religious leaders, instead of making small notes on their hands, so that when they reached forward with their hand, they would see this note on their hand and they would be reminded, man, of all they were doing for God, of all they were doing for good. But instead of it being a small reminder, man, they took a scroll, they rolled it up, and they walked around with a scroll like that. Look how spiritual I am, reminding myself of all the Bible verses I know. How many of you know you look pretty foolish walking around like this? Man, that's what they did. Man, they did that, why? As an outward display of how spiritual I am. Look how many Bible verses I am telling people, I'm reminding myself of. Man, I am so spiritual. I messed my hair up when I did that. Do you get the point, or do I need to put it back? Okay, you got the point. Verse 6, man, they love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats of the synagogues. Hey, the chief seats of the synagogues, they were raised up like balcony seating. Man, they were raised up as, man, the chief seats in the Baptist church, the back row. The back row. Man, they loved the chief seats. They wanted everyone to see. Look at me. Look how prestigious, how important I am. Man, this one strikes home. And the greeting in the markets, to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Man, they wanted to be called by all these special titles. Man, religious people like special titles. They wanted to be called by all these special titles. Man, be called master, be called the best, be called the teacher. He's saying, man, there's one master, one teacher, that's Christ. Man, look at this, verse number 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Hey, I didn't say that. Jesus said that, all right? Man, it's not Father so-and-so. I'm not Father Delaney, okay? Don't meet me at the back. Oh, Father Delaney. Hey, there's one Father. That's God. Man, all of us, we're just brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, if you're new here at First Baptist, sometimes you'll hear us say, hey, Brother Miller, or Brother Steve, or Sister Susan, or Sister so-and-so. You say, man, that's kind of weird. Why do you call each other brother and sister? Man, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And not father, not as a prestigious man, doctor, honorable doctor, master, chief rabbi, Reverend Delaney. No. That's not me. Man, I just hey you, that'll work for me. Hey you, you know, that'll work for me. Man, no prestigious titles. Man, we're all sinners saved by grace. Man, all the honor, all the title goes to God. And all the honor, all the glory goes to him. And it's certainly true. Man, Paul teaches us, man, to whom honor is due, we should give honor. Man, I teach my boys, my daughter, man, even growing up, I never called an older person in the church by their first name. How many of you grew up in church culture and that was the way it was, you know? It was never like, hey, Peter, you know? If my mom heard me say that, she would have snatched me up in a heartbeat. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say snatched you up, right? When you were getting drugged to a room, locked, and just like whack, 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 you know? That was church culture in the 80s, right? Man, why? Because, man, that's Mr. Bumacod, or that's Brother Bumacod. Man, you use honor. Hey, listen, young adults in the room, man, to whom honor is given, give honor. Man, and those who are our elders, those who have served us well, man, let's treat them with honor. Let's esteem. He's not talking about not showing honor. What he's saying is we don't long for special titles. Because some people are only after titles, only after esteem. Man, I love Derek. Derek does a great job serving in our young adults with our student ministries. Derek, I think he still has the title The Intern, right? He told me the other day, Pastor, when can I get rid of the intern title, right? Don't worry, summer is coming and we're bringing on some more interns and you get promoted to, like, you know, rookie. You know, I don't know where we'll go next. Michael changed his tag. Derek, rookie, freshman. Wait, sophomore. It's a sophomore. That's what it is. I'll get to it eventually. Man, we're not after titles, man. Just servant of the Lord, that'll do. In fact, that's what he says, man. Verse number 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Man, shall be your servant. Man, they wanted all these special titles, special recognition. Hey, listen. Are you interested in honor or just being humble? Man, are you interested in a special title or just humbly serving? I got to go fast. Number 2, the condemnation. The condemnation. I'm going to go fast here, okay? You got to walk with me through the woes. Through the woes. Man, the woe too, the warning too. Man, those who hindered those from eternal life. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. And neither ye yourselves go in, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Man, they hindered. They were standing between people who were wanting to get into heaven and those who were actually in. Man, they harassed those in need. Verse 14. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye devour widows' houses. And you make a pretense, for a pretense make long prayer, and therefore ye shall receive greater damnation. Man, they were oppressing poor widows. Man, the Bible says this is pure religion. Pure religion, care for the widows and care for the fatherless. That's pure religion. Pure, holy religion. Care for people who are actually in need. But they were oppressing people in need and then standing up in church and making really long prayers. Man, do we pride ourselves on just, man, following rules, oppressing people in need, but we do not spend ourselves expressing a costly love. Man, harassed, they were harmful for spiritual growth. That's verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, scribe. You compass the sea and the land. Ye make a proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell. Man, they were stopping spiritual growth. But look at verse number 16. Man, you swear by the temple, but it is nothing. But whoso shall swear by the gold of the temple, man, all of a sudden he's your debtor. You were making a bigger deal about financial commitments than about spiritual commitments. That's what they were doing. But they were running people down in the street. Hey, didn't you say you were going to give some money? But then, man, they were not concerned at all about someone's commitment to God, someone's commitment to their wife, to their spouse, to their children. Man, they weren't concerned about someone's commitment to Bible reading or prayer or church attendance. Man, they didn't care about that. All they cared about was the gold, the commitment they made with gold. Man, they stopped it. They stopped spiritual growth. Man, look at verse 23. Man, woe to you, because ye pay tithe and mint, or pay tithe of mint and anise, and come and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. He says, listen, it's a good thing to make sure you're giving to the Lord. The deacons at least should have amened on that point. I'll give you another chance. It's a good thing to make sure you're giving to the Lord. Amen. Okay, you did it. You lost an hour of sleep, so I'll give you a break. That's a good thing. But you should not omit love and mercy and faith and grace and patience and kindness to others. Well, I just have no patience for them. Well, hold on. Do them both. But we should see to it that we do them both. Man, they were hindering this. Man, he gets worse. He goes down. He says, verse number 25: Ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess. But you cleanse first the cup that is, but thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that it which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them might be clean also. How many of you know you do not just clean the outside of the cup, man? You clean the inside of the cup. You don't just my kids are washing dishes; they're just washing the outside of the bowl. And I'm going, what? That you're missing the whole point. You got to clean the inside of the bowl, right? You're going to clean it. You clean the inside, and the whole thing gets clean. Listen, purity begins in the heart of a man. Purity begins in the heart of a man. Man, you cleanse the inward. Man, you will clean the outward part of a man. Man, many times if you just start on the outside, you'll stop. You'll never get to the inside. Why? Because you got what you wanted. You got the pat on the back, the applause, the recognition from everyone around you. Man, you never got to the inside when you started on the outside. But if you start on the inside, it always works its way out. Man, last one. The compassion of our hero. Jesus is not just venting. It's not just that Jesus is fed up with and can't take any more of. No, Jesus is saying this, man, in front of his disciples. Remember we started there, verse number one. Man, then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to the disciples. Here's what he's saying. He's saying this to them. He's saying he's giving them a model of what discipleship, true discipleship looks like. Here's what it looks like for the believer. This is what it looks like for you, for what it looks like for me. Jesus is not just, man, he's not just putting them on blast. He's calling them to repent. And how many of you know, man, some Pharisees, they did repent. Paul said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Man, Paul repented. Nicodemus repented. Man, Joseph of Arimathea, he repented. Man, some Pharisees did repent, and that was what the Lord Jesus Christ was after to begin with. He's not just delivering a rebuke, lecturing them. He desires to see them repent and have a relationship with God restored for them. Man, four ideas about repentance. Number one, I'll give them to you in passing. Man, condemnation of sinners is imminent. For them, the temple would be destroyed. These Pharisees, they would die because they did not repent. But hear me, condemnation to all sinners is imminent. Every man, every woman in this room, without exception, will one day stand before God. And God will measure us by our works, by our deeds, all that's been done in our bodies, whether it's good or bad. And He discerns the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Hey, God doesn't just take note that you're in church this morning. God knows where your spirit is this morning. And when God measures us, judges us, weighs us, He does so according to the heart of a man. How many of you know even your righteousness is as filthy rags? Man, even the best thing we have to offer is not good enough, for the wages of sin is death. The condemnation of sinners is imminent. That's for you, that's for me. But the salvation of sinners is possible. Jesus says, I desired to gather you to myself. Man, like a mother hen would bring her chickens underneath her wings and protect her. Man, but what did they do? Man, He came unto His own, and His own received them not. And He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, aren't you thankful that salvation is possible? Man, it's not possible through what we have done. It's not possible through religion. It's possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you escape that divine judgment, that condemnation from. I mean, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I did, what I said, where I went. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Man, number three, the exaltation of the Savior is inevitable. Man, they were interested in was exalting themselves. All they cared about was getting their own praise, their own recognition, their own name. Man, one day every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Hey, one day we all bow before Him. Man, kings, presidents, chief priests, pastors, lay members, deacons, we all bow. The CEO, the factory worker, man, the McDonald's hamburger flipper, we all bow before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Hey, by the way, that's what's good. That's why it's good to come to church. Hey, church is practicing for that day. Man, the ensemble saying, man, how good and great is our God. Man, do you know what we sing in that day? How great is our God and greatly to be praised. Man, getting together with the church, man, that's practice for heaven. Hey, if you don't like church, you're not going to like heaven. Man, getting together, that's why you should not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Hey, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you believe Jesus could come this week, right? Man, you read of what's happening in the news, man. I'm straightway convinced it could happen today. Hey, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, the closer you feel like it is till when He shows up, man, you should be ready for the day when He shows up. Man, why? Getting ready to exalt Him. We're going to praise Him in eternity. We might as well start now. If you don't like singing and loud singing about a good and wonderful God like the choir sang, man, if you don't like that kind of thing now, you're not really going to enjoy heaven. Man, because it's singing. Man, it's praising God. Man, it's praising Him. Man, 24 hours a day, the angels surround the throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I mean, this is what they do around the presence of God all. Man, this is what we will do one day in heaven. We will sing His praises. I gotta get off that one. Here we go. Man, the last one, the contribution of service is indispensable. Man, the contribution of. The key to maturing is serving. The key to maturing is serving. Remember when your son, your daughter, when they were just about this big, how many of you remember? They were, man, you brought them home from the hospital. They were so cute and cuddly. And then they grew into teenagers and they became ogres, right? Man, the baby's just this big. Man, how many of you know, man, that's a baby. It's a child. It cannot help with the family needs. Man, that's 6 months old. You're not sending him down to get a job. Man, the key to maturing is serving. Man, as the child grows, man, they start to do work in the family. This is a rule in my house. I buy the food. Amanda cooks the food. The kids clean up from the food, right? You know, Dad, why do we have to do the dishes? Because I bought it. Because your mom cooked it. Because you ate it. So now you get to clean it. You got to do something in here. Dad, you only had us so we could be your slaves. You're right. The best thing about having kids, somebody else can vacuum the floor. I ain't going to do it. Well, I can't wait till I'm 18. I can't wait till you're 18 either. Look, the whole point of maturing is that we serve. Hey, it's a good thing to have people serve us. And all of us have different seasons of our life where we need people to serve us. We all have seasons where we need somebody to come alongside of us and put their arm around us and just say, hey, I'm here for you. I want to help you. And we have pastors, deacons, staff members, teachers. Man, aren't you thankful for the nursery workers this morning? Aren't you thankful for children workers this morning? Man, it's great to have people serve us like that, but the key to maturing is serving. Hey, maturity says, I don't want to just be served, I want to serve. I don't want everybody to just make sure they meet my needs, but I want to help meet the needs of other people. Man, that's what the Pharisees, the Sadducees missed. Man, they were all about getting themselves glory, getting themselves honor, getting themselves more applause. They were not interested in helping others. Hey, listen, church, listen, believer, let's be interested in helping others more than we are in helping ourselves. Hey, let's be interested in contributing to the family more than just taking from the family. And if you're here, you say, Pastor, how can I help? Let me start with, man, join the choir. Man, take a turn in the nursery. Give an offering. Teach a Sunday school class. Be an usher. Man, be a greeter. Be a parking lot attendant. Man, just be in your place every week singing as loud as you can. Man, all of us can find ways in which we can serve. All of us can find ways in which we can serve. Hey, let's not be like those who won't even lift a finger. Man, they won't even lift a finger to help someone else who is in need. Let's not pretend to have religion. Man, let's actually have a real relationship with God Almighty. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for how you served us.